Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Is that the way you do it before?
Oh. Okay. Whichever. All right, let's get going, and we will get started here, Reggie, on the other side of the glass. Actually, I usually say the levels look good. They look a little... Yeah, you see that? Yeah. Okay. Now you got it. Good. All right, let's get started here. Put it in the books. 225. Episode 2, 2-5-er. All right. I'll give you the three S's. I'll give you the countdown. You give me the music. And I'll give you some content. All right? Sounds like a deal. Here we go. Star, smile, strong. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. That's WGNRadio.com. And hopefully the current problem with the podcast getting uploaded to other platforms will be fixed, but I'm not sure what the state of that is. It's not in my hands, folks. I just provide content. I don't know about anything else. I just record it and someone else does that. But hopefully you can sit around your computer for an hour. Would that be so hard? I know that you're used to a routine of perhaps listening or downloading it on your app. I get that, but hopefully maybe for an hour you can sit by your computer on the couch or your easy chair and listen to it that way until the problem is rectified. It's not perfect, perhaps, but it's still there. I'm still doing it. So hopefully you're still with me. Those of you who are listening, welcome to episode 225. Don't forget, you can find all previous episodes of this podcast also at WGNRadio.com. Go to the podcast section and hit the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic prompt, and you will find all previous 224 episodes. As I say, welcome to episode 225. Well, I'll tell you, this has been an interesting week. In terms of, I saw observed an interesting pattern evolving in the news over the last week or so. And so I thought that I should and wanted to address it. And what I want to talk about is college. College. But first, before I get to that main topic, if you've been listening to the podcast with any regularity over the last several years, you know that I had been to Amsterdam a couple of times in the last few years. And one of the takeaways after visiting Amsterdam, I really enjoyed the city. It's a beautiful city, a city of canals. You may not know that. We all think of Venice when we think of canals, but Amsterdam is a city of canals as well, and it's very pretty, and some of them are gorgeous, and they go through all the neighborhoods, and it's really a neat, really a neat city. But of course, Amsterdam has been known for many years for its legalized marijuana, which has become a definite part of the culture. And as I said, after coming back from there, it's impossible not to know that marijuana was legal in Amsterdam because you could smell it everywhere. Now, maybe not everywhere, but in very populated areas. And as if you're a tourist, you're going to be going to all those populated areas, whether back then it was restaurants, bars, squares, famous sites. And one takeaway from every place I went was I smelled marijuana on the street, in gangways, by the water, certainly in bars and in restaurants, you name it, you smelled it. And I said that at that time, a few years ago, if marijuana was ever legalized, we'd have to begin to get used to smelling it in public places. It would become a new phenomenon in our culture. Now, we had just gotten rid of public cigarette smoking, and we had gotten rid of the smell of cigarettes and our clothes coming back smelling like cigarettes if we were in a public place, certainly at a restaurant, at a bar. I think we finally, that became a thing of the past, because public smoking in public places is pretty much banned everywhere here in the United States. And then as soon as that's banned, and as soon as we get all the cigarette smell out of our lungs, out of our clothes, we legalize pot. And we're right back to a very pungent smelling herb. And once again, it's going to be on our clothes and in our hair and in our noses whenever we go. Now marijuana has been legal for a while. And in fact, here in Illinois, especially this past year, it just was legalized in January. But my gosh, during the COVID shutdown, it seems as if, in addition to, there's two major industries that have been doing very well during the COVID lockdowns. Netflix for binge watching, and marijuana dispensaries for binge smoking. And probably binge eating after you smoke up and after you're watching Netflix. So it's a whole thing. Apparently, Netflix and marijuana may go together. You know, you're sitting there watching television and you light up a doober and you're watching Netflix, and then, you got to go to the grocery store and get some munchies. So probably those three areas: grocery stores, because people aren't eating out as much. So grocery stores are probably doing very well. We know here in Illinois, almost every month since the lockdown started, the next month tops the new record. And I think Chicago or the Illinois is now up to $40 or $50 million a month in gross marijuana sales, far exceeding what was expected. So America loves their marijuana. And I know that for a fact. And my prediction came true. I said, okay, just so you know, if we legalize pot, that's fine. But we will, based on my trips to Amsterdam, we will have to get used to smelling that distinct smell of marijuana wherever we go, especially in public places, outside, crowded areas, restaurants, bars, you name it. Well, sure enough, surprise, 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 I was right again. I will make predictions. When they are right, I will certainly point them out. So within 10 minutes, this point really hit home for me just this past week. One was not unexpected. One was very odd. The weather finally is turning fall-like, which, as I said in a couple of podcasts ago, is fantastic. I hated the summer months this year in the Chicago area, especially this, around the country. And even at this time, as I record this, California is in an amazing heat wave of triple digits, upper triple digits, 112, I think, in L.A. recently, along with the wildfires. So we've had a very hot summer. Pretty much from coast to coast, and I am not a fan of that. And we had some major humid and heat wave like weather here with consecutive days, sometimes 7 days in a row of above 90 and humid weather. So I'm so glad to see that the weather in Chicago now is in the 60s and lower 70s. Oh, no more air conditioner in the car. So I had my windows down, and I'm driving down a pretty, heavily trafficked street, and I get to a stop sign, a stoplight, and wow, I am overcome with an amazing blast of marijuana smell. Whew. And I'm like, whoa, where is that coming from? And I look to my left because my window's open, right? My driver's side window. And there's no car there yet. So I'm like, there's no cars pulled up to me yet. I was kind of leading the traffic. And I stopped at the yellow. Yes, I did. I didn't go through the yellow. I stopped at it. Yellow means caution. I was being cautious. So I was leading the traffic. So I was waiting for it to catch up to me. But I already smelled this pungent odor. Wow. And I turn and I'm like, wow, where is it coming from? It's not from a car, obviously. It must be somewhere out somewhere. Someone just crossed the street smoking, or what's going on? Well, as I turn my head back, this is all in a matter of seconds, right? A car pulls up next to me, and holy smokes, no pun intended, holy smoke ups, I should say. I was smelling that car from a distance when I first smelled it and it was strong, and that was the car, and now it's pulling up next to me. And I almost got a contact high, and I'm not even exaggerating. Wow. But I look, and it was weird. The windows weren't open. And I'm like, okay, it's got to be this car that smells like that. But the windows aren't open. Could it be that there's so much pot smoking going in that car? Could it be that Cheech and Chong are in that car? Could it be that Bill and Ted are in that most excellent car? Could it be that Wayne and Garth are in that car? And there's so much pot smoking going on that it's seeping through even the closed windows, whatever. If the car isn't perfectly sealed, it's coming out of any open vent or any open part of that car. Could it be? Because my gosh, it's got to be that car. And as it pulls up to me, I notice something weird. The door was open. It wasn't wide open, but it wasn't shut. And so two things hit me. First of all, well, that's where the smoke's coming from. And my gosh, I would assume there's at least two people in there. But based on the smell that was coming out of that car, there had to be 40 people in there smoking bowls. And clearly it was coming out this side, the passenger door. But why was the passenger door not shut? So then I got a little worried. I'm like, okay, is something going to happen here? Is there like a door open? You read about all these carjackings going on, and I'm at a stoplight, and there's a car that is definitely, the people inside are definitely smoking up. Are they smoking up for some, marijuana courage instead of liquid courage when you take a shot of something or you get drunk? Are they preparing themselves with some marijuana courage to do something nefarious? And so I quickly rolled up my window and made sure my door was locked and was ready with the gas pedal if someone emerged from that car quickly and tried to do something, because it was very strange. And then nothing happened. The light turned green. I went ahead. They turned left, and I don't know what happened, but wow, what a smell! So clearly, people are smoking marijuana in cars. Now they're not supposed to. We know that. I think the law, at least here in Illinois, is you're supposed to be indoors when you smoke it. It's legal. but you're not supposed to be smoking it outside. But we know that that's a law that will never be enforced or can't even be enforced. It's there on the books to be official, but you know in practicality it's never going to happen. And clearly this car, I'm surprised the car itself wasn't lifted off the ground and high itself. The car itself had to be getting a contact high. I was, and I wasn't even in it. So I'm sure that car, you know, was getting a contact high from whatever its occupants were doing. But wow, what a blast. So then I drive about 10 more minutes, and I'm going to stop at a well-known department store with a red and white logo, kind of a bullseye, if you will. That's the only hints I'll give you. You can take it from there. A red and white bullseye. What's another word for a bullseye? A red and white round bullseye. So I park in the lot, and as I begin to walk toward the store, now this one threw me for a loop because there was really no one around me. There was no cars coming in or coming out of the parking lot, and I'm walking toward the door by myself and no other customers coming in or coming out, one of those rare times. And yet there must have been somebody who just finished or just started, or there was a good wind, but I was walking directly into an invisible cloud of major marijuana smoke. Didn't see it. Don't know where it came from. If maybe the winds, you know, it was kind of windy this past week. Maybe the winds were blowing it. Someone was doing it miles away. Who knows? But wow, right by the door. I don't know if somebody was smoking up and then they just, you know, threw their joint out before they went in or just finished it. But wow, somebody was there recently and was really doing a job. Whew. And I was like, wow, within 10 minutes, this marijuana smell, and you know, that I knew would be a part of our culture, is in full swing. Because my gosh, I had a car next to me that was like a Cheech and Chong movie. And now I'm just walking, minding my own business, and boom, just walked into this invisible marijuana smell. So marijuana is here to stay, gang. And now it is exactly where I thought it would be. It's in our environment. It's around us all. And so if you haven't smelled it, I'm sure you will soon if you are in a state where marijuana is legalized, because clearly a lot more people are smoking it. I did not smell it as much initially, you know, when it became legalized, but it seems as if the COVID has either made heavier pot smokers out of regular ones, and perhaps has been able to recruit new people through the sheer restlessness and anxiety and boredom. And they said, well, let me just give it a shot. I have a friend of mine who said to me on the phone the other day, or a couple weeks ago, whatever, just so you know, I might be beginning to smoke the pot. He said it for comic and dramatic reasons. But I said, well, really? Why is that? I never knew him as a pot smoker. I don't think he ever was one. He said, well, you know what? I don't know. I think it's time. More power to you. I haven't really indulged at all since it's become legalized. But it's around. There's no question. And wow, was it around me? It seemed to be following me the other day. So just keep your ears, not so much your ears, keep your nose open. If you wonder, you know, how prevalent is marijuana smoking? Keep your nostrils wide open. And if you go out to public places, I guarantee you will smell people, you will smell places, and you will smell things. You'll be like McGruff, the crime dog, even though it's not a crime anymore. So keep your nose open, because marijuana is out there, folks. Someone's smoking it. You don't make $50 million a month in a state unless somebody's doing some major marijuana smoking, and the residue has to be around somewhere, and it was around me the other day. Whew. Ah. So I was talking, or as I said, I was observing this the last week or so. I saw several stories about college. And I said, well, you know, maybe it's time for me to address some of this. The first story I saw, well, I shouldn't say the first one. Obviously, about for the last month or so, as colleges prepared to go back, we have seen many colleges, some small, some major, some well-known, some of the most popular, most respected colleges in our country, like Notre Dame and others that have had COVID outbreaks right at the beginning. As soon as they announced that they would be having classes in person on campus and people started coming back to the college campuses, after all these college kids, whether they're freshmen or seniors, they have been cooped up with their parents since March, and they just wanted to get out of the house. And believe it or not, they wanted to go back to school. That's how bad the COVID lockdown was. College kids wanted to go back to school. They spent enough time with their parents, and maybe vice versa. But clearly, in August and July and August, and now as we are in September, things are not getting better. The spread has continued. And we are seeing now our college campuses. First, when we loosened up the restrictions, the first places and the first age groups where we saw a surge in COVID, obviously, was in public places like bars and restaurants, which were frequented, of course, by young people between the ages of 18 and 35. And so I dressed those people down in the past. You've got to have some responsibility. You've got to think about other people other than yourselves. And clearly, screaming in the forest, just like Dr. Fauci and all the others who are taking this COVID thing seriously. And so surprise, surprise, when a bunch of college kids got together on campus in their dorms or in their apartments, regardless of the warnings and the pleadings of social distancing and washing your hands and wearing masks, they continued the irresponsible behavior that they showed in the summer by going to bars and restaurants with no masks and having big parties with no masks and no social distancing. And now they have really made a farce of college campuses. And I said on my Facebook page several weeks ago, it seems, and I'll stand by this, and I got some heat from some parents, and I wasn't surprised. I mean, look, I understand. Parenting is not easy in these days. It's never easy. It's the hardest job in the world. And a lot of times I will say things about parenting, and people say, well, you really have no right to criticize parenting or judge parenting because you are not a parent. My argument to that is, first of all, I know how hard it is. I know what a difficult job it is. I didn't think or know that I might be up to the challenge, because it's a 24-hour-a-day job. It's a lifetime 24-hour-a-day job from the moment that kid is born. It better be. It better be. And if it isn't, then you're not doing the right job. And I didn't know if I had it in me, if I had what it took, if I had the drive to put that type of commitment and time and effort into that to do a good job, because we've seen what bad parenting can do. Bad parenting affects our entire society. We're seeing it with gangs and things like that. Gangs are an outgrowth of bad parenting, folks. I'll just say it. Gangs are giving these young kids some sense of family that they're not getting at home. And that's why there's such a loyalty to them. And that's why we have such a problem with it. So I made a conscious decision not to have kids. I faced the reality. I looked at myself. I've said many times here, I'm a realist. I looked at myself. I was honest with myself. And I said, are you really ready to willing to make that commitment? Are you going to put it in? Are you going to put the time and the effort in? Can you do that? Because if you fail at this, it could be serious. It could affect you, the person, and people around you and society in general. So before you decide to bring a life into this world, you better make a decision that you are going to make the commitment to be a good parent and try your hardest. And if you don't feel you can do it, if you don't think you put the time and the effort in, then don't do it. And I made the decision, I mean, obviously with my wife, but we talked about it. But that was a conscious decision we made. It wasn't just me. It was a conscious decision that we made. And I don't regret it because I see what a difficult job it is. And I see how it can affect your life completely. It better influence your life. It better change your life. You always hear about that. It better change your life. And so I believe that I have a right to criticize because I don't have the emotional connection of being a parent. I can look at it from a more objective view and say, this is right and this is wrong. And I understand a lot of parents want their kids to have that college experience and blah, blah, blah. But these are different times and we cannot work around COVID. We have to work within it. It is not going away. It does not go away because we want it to. It does not go away because of a calendar. Just because it's September and that means school to us doesn't mean it's going to go away. And there's proof on the college campuses now. And it was starting the first weekend that kids were back to school. And so I made a comment on my Facebook page. I said, well, it seems to me that all those SATs and those tutors and all the community service and all the extracurriculars and all those moving and emotive essays about how to get into college, all those things that kids are drilled in and preparing for to go to college, one thing they don't do, they supposedly make you smart, right, more responsible. No, they don't. Because clearly all the high SATs, all the extracurriculars on your resume or in your application, your moving essay and all your community service, it didn't inject 1 ounce of responsibility or maturity. Because as soon as you got back to campus, you acted like a 5-year-old kid. You cannot plead ignorance about COVID anymore. Maybe in March and April you could, but not in September. Not in August and September. It is blatant, but it's college. I got to get together with my friends. I got to party. Someone said, geez, I guess you forgot what it's like to be young. You sound like a curmudgeon. No. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah, I did a lot of stupid things when I was young, a lot of stupid things. But as I said to you many times before, I tried to not repeat those stupid things, to learn to recognize how immature and stupid they were. We all make mistakes. We're all immature. We all make stupid decisions when we're young. Me more than most, probably. I'll admit that. But what I tried to do is learn from them, not to keep repeating them. Yeah, you know what the difference is between now and then? Sorry, folks, if you're in the 18 to 25 or 26, because now it takes you 45 years to graduate from college. But I'm sorry, but this is a reality. I'm sorry that it fell in your childhood or your young adulthood, but it did, and it demands that you react to it in a mature and responsible way. You cannot be an idiot. You cannot make stupid, immature decisions. You got to grow up a little faster. Today's world is demanding that everybody act more mature and everybody grow up, whether you're 50 or whether you're 18. I'm sorry, it may not be fair, but that's reality. So, yeah, when I did stupid things when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, yeah, I made stupid mistakes. I look back and go, holy smokes, how did I even get away with that? Or how did I live through that? Holy cow. But you know what? I knew when at the time it was wrong. I didn't do it again. But whatever youthful indiscretions I made during my youth, they weren't jeopardizing other people necessarily and possibly killing them. They were stupid, they were immature, but they weren't death related. They weren't sick related. They affected me and maybe my small group of friends, but not the entire community or the world at large. But that's what you can do if you spread this virus. Gosh, how many times do we have to say this? And so I'm sorry if you're in that age group, but you have to grow up. You can't act irresponsible. You just can't. I'm sorry. You got a bum deal, but that's the way life is, and you better start to deal with it. Because the bubble that your parents created for you for the first 18 years does not extend into the real world. They cannot control the real world anymore for you. So grow up. So our college campuses now are feeding grounds for COVID. Are you seeing this? It's unbelievable. The University of Illinois in Champaign, 700 cases. 700 cases. Highly respected places like Notre Dame, right out of the box. 20-some cases, right first 2 days. And the heads of these colleges, are, I would assume, aren't they educated and mature and intelligent people? And how could you bring back kids to a campus? Don't you know what they're going to do? Or do you think that somehow your students are so much more mature and you vetted them because, you know, your entrance exams and your entrance requirements, you just get the best of the best and the highest quality, and your kids won't break these rules and have parties and keg parties, and they won't hang out without masks, or they won't do things that go against the social distancing. No, I mean, they're from our esteemed institution of higher learning. BS. They're 18-year-old kids. They're 20-year-old kids. They're 21-year-old kids. And they're immature. And just because they got into your school doesn't make them any mature or any smarter than anyone else. And now we're learning it. All those SATs and all that other stuff, that's showing to be BS, because that's not helping to make people mature. You got to grow up here. And now the college campuses, they don't know what to do. They thought they're going to do in person classes. Now they got hybrids. Bradley University here in Illinois is quarantining all of their students. Quarantine them on campus. They only have 50 cases, but they're quarantining 500 people right now. They can't go out anywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, and we've seen some major places all around the country. Major schools. And I don't know if it's arrogance or if it's naivete or it's just, you know, look, I understand colleges are in a tough situation, just like every other business is, because I don't blame parents. If I was spending 30 or 40 grand a year for college tuition, I would want my kid to get that 40 grand worth of what I'm paying for. And that does probably mean in-person teaching. But you know what? We can't do that. But these colleges, they don't want to give tuition reductions. So they're trying to find a way to keep that money in the coffers. And they're also pandering to public opinion. We want our kids in schools. I got news for you. Parents are showing that, hey, you look, you know, I'm into this parent thing, but I didn't expect to see this kid 24 hours a day, you know, every day of their life. You know, there's school. I don't want to be, you know, the kids can't wait to get away from their parents. It's vice versa, too. But it was pandering to popular opinion. Oh, you know, it's okay. I don't know if they're just, as I said before, arrogant. But there's some major, major things going on now. And here's the best part. So now I just read that the college campuses now are hot spots, right? All around the country. Doesn't even matter. Every coast. Because you've got kids from different states. So both coasts, south, north, east, west, college campuses are now a breeding ground because the kids are not social distancing. They're not wearing masks. They're having parties. They're doing keggers. They're out on the streets outside of their apartments and their dorms, you know, in parks, indoors, you name it. They're everywhere together. They are getting the college experience if it kills them, literally, or if it kills other people, which is more likely, which is even more reason. But here's the best part now. Some colleges are so, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle this. Once again, they had all summer to figure this out. I'll give you March and April. March and April was a shock to everybody when we had a shutdown. So I'll give you that. They didn't know what to do. Everything was kind of off the cuff. But now, unless you are completely ignorant or you're completely just crossing your fingers and just the eternal optimist, which in these days, you better spike your optimism with a heavy dose of reality. Because crossing your fingers and hoping it's going to go away has proven now over the last 6-7 months that doesn't work. This virus, and I've been saying this since March, doesn't care about your calendar. It doesn't care about your plans. It is going to do what it does best, and that is pass around, infect people. And as I've said many times before, but it doesn't move on its own. When you see these daily totes, that is being passed on by people to people. This virus does not move on its own. If it was by itself, it would die. It doesn't jump around on its own. We spread it. We pass it by not wearing masks, by droplets, by not social distancing. So all those numbers are directly connected to human beings being irresponsible and passing it along. It's just that simple. That's not up for debate. That's how it's passed. You can debate whether it's serious or not, fine. But how it's passed, you can't debate that. And the numbers that you're seeing is proof that people are not obeying the restrictions. Some of us are. Most of us clearly aren't. But now these college campuses, these great institutes of high learning, these well-bred and well-educated PhDs, they've got degrees a mile long. Why weren't they planning for this from last May, from April, to say, okay, look, we got to do what we can do to get through the school year, but we're having a meeting, and we have to pretend that when September comes and August comes, we have to pretend that the COVID is still around, it's at least as bad as it now, and it may be worse. And under those scenarios, that's how we are going to create our comeback to school plan, at least at the beginning. We are going to take the worst case scenario. We are not going to take the best case scenario. We are not going to pander. We are not going to blow like the wind based on public opinion, either in the region we live in or from our donors or anyone else. This is our job. This is our business, to be responsible, to be professional, and to provide our students with a safe environment in which to learn, as safe as possible. And in that case, almost every college administrator has failed in this country. Everyone has failed. I'll just give it a blanket, because when you see how widespread it is, and at some of the most prestigious colleges in the country, overall, the colleges have failed miserably, and their administrators should be embarrassed. Because clearly they weren't taking this seriously. They weren't planning far ahead. Or they were afraid to not be, to offend some, whatever it was. They made wrong decisions. They weren't planning on either this being around and as being as prevalent as it still is, or they, as I said before, under some delusion that their students were going to be different than other ones and they were going to follow every protocol to the letter. As I've said many times before, stuff looks good on a whiteboard until it gets into the real world, because people are flawed and humans will ruin it. So build that into your plan. I'm not being negative. I'm being realistic. That's how you build a plan. You build a plan by first deciding, how could it go wrong? That's how you build a plan. Every step of the way, okay, this is what to do, and here's how we're going to do it, fine. And what could possibly derail this? You don't go to the next step until you've solved every level of your plan's possible downfalls. What can hurt it? Plan for that. We knew this existed. We knew that that a vaccine would not be around in September. And we were hoping it would go away by herd immunity, or just die out in the summer through the heat. But there were no guarantees. So if you were making plans for August and September, if you were at a school, a grammar school, a high school, especially a college, given how much people are paying for it, then you're supposed to make that plan in the worst case scenario and then go backward. Because then if it's not, then your plan's going to work. Then you can begin to shed some things off, but you better have all the worst case scenario options already in place in case you have to fire them off on day one, because now you're seeing scrambling. Well, now what do we do? All your degrees, all your smarts, what are they giving me now? Deal with reality. Universities and colleges have not done a good job. And here's the best part now. So now they don't know what to do. They're quarantining, they're having hybrids. It's all over the place. Now, once again, we have no set plan in place. Everything is ad hoc, everything is off the cuff, everything is different depending on the day. No uniformity. We should be so embarrassed, and I think we are. I hope we are. The rest of the world is laughing at us. That's for sure. We have to look into the deep, dark, truthful mirror on this one, folks. Wow, did we mess up? You know, history. There are times when history asks you to step up, and wow, we as a country have not stepped up at all. At all. So now here's the best part. I just read that this last week. Some colleges are throwing their hands up. They're throwing up the red flag. They're saying, well, you know what? Just go home for now, because clearly the college campus is too tempting of an environment for you. You can't act maturely. We've seen that. If you guys are going to get together in your dorms, you're going to get together in your apartments, you're going to get together in your frat houses, you're going to get together in your bars, you are not going to stay away from each other. You are not going to social distance. You are not going to wear masks. You are not going to wash your hands. So, you know what? In order to, we're going to have to send you back home, back to mom and dad. Maybe they can take care of you because we can't. Well, here's the danger in that. That might sound, well, you know what? What's the difference, right? I mean, if they're going to be distance learning, they might as well do it from home. Save the money for your apartment, even though you probably paid in advance. Or maybe the school gives you some money back on the dorm charges or whatever. Yeah, send them back home. You know, the college campus clearly is not an environment that today's college student can handle maturely. In a COVID world, they've proven that without a doubt. They couldn't handle the social bar situation, and they can't handle the college campus. I don't know what they can handle. Those are their two main areas that we asked them to act responsibly in, and they failed miserably. F. They all get Fs. So now the college campuses have thrown up the white flag and said, well, we can't take care of you. So go home and do your distance learning from home. Well, you know, does it take a rocket scientist? You have to be a genius to see what a horrible decision that is by these administrators of these colleges. You can't send these kids home to all different states when they've possibly, because we don't know, they've possibly been exposed to the COVID on your campus. They may have it. And now you're sending them home throughout the country to spread it more. What are you thinking? Yeah, it sounds drastic what Bradley University is doing, but that's probably the best idea. They have to quarantine the people on campus now. You can't let them out. And you can't let them go back home. But that's what they're doing. And there's nothing to stop them. No plan. No enforcement. How the heck is this going to stop if we continue to exhibit this behavior that goes right against it? You don't have to be intelligent to see this. And I thought these were intelligent people running these colleges. I don't know. It's unbelievable. But here was another thing about college. Warren Buffett, one of the most respected, if not the respected investors and business people in the world, not just this country, in the world, certainly in this country, Warren Buffett. He's a kind of homespun guy, older guy, and he's, you know, the main key investor. Everybody wants his advice. He's made billions. And so everybody wants to, you know, find out what, and, you know, be around. I mean, you know, he has these big lunches with people every year, and you know, he is the guru of Wall Street. Fine, he's got the proof of that, no question about that. And he's a very simple guy. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's not like Gordon Gekko, you know, from Wall Street. He's not very arrogant. He's very Midwestern and you know, down to earth, Berkshire Hathaway. You know, I mean, he's worth, you know, how much? I don't know, $100 billion. I mean, who knows, right? And I saw an interview with him, and he was talking about college. And, you know, now this is, don't forget, this is the Oracle of Omaha. You know what I mean? This is, you're talking to Warren Buffett now. You're getting some insights, not just on money, but now about the world, right? The Oracle of Omaha, that's his name, his nickname. As I said, he's very kind of, you know, he lives in Nebraska and, you know, from Nebraska, homespun. And he said, I probably didn't need to go to college. You know, I really didn't need to go to college. I don't know if a college education is really all that important. And I was taken aback because, you know, here's a guy that went to Columbia University and got a master's degree. And he got a Bachelor of Science at the University of Nebraska, and he went to the University of Pennsylvania. Some of the best, most respected schools in our country. University of Pennsylvania, one of the best colleges. Columbia University in New York. Got a master's from Columbia. And now he says he probably didn't need to go to college. And then I think he even heard how dismissive it sounded. So he said, well, now don't get me wrong, I said I didn't learn anything there, but I was inspired by some of the teachers. So he realized that here's a guy with you know a list of degrees from some of the most prestigious colleges in the world, and he's done pretty well for himself. He's one of the top 10 wealthiest people in the world, and now suddenly you know he's trying to be hip and cool. Well, I don't know if I needed to go to college because you know in today's world, if you're in the tech world especially, you know. Most of the people who are the leading business people and are the head of tech companies didn't finish college. They all dropped out. Bill Gates, famous. I don't believe Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook finished. I don't think Steve Jobs of Apple finished. I don't know about Dorsey of Twitter. But most of the major tech people today all were very smart, very intelligent. They all went to the best schools, Harvard. Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard. I believe Zuckerberg did too. That's where Facebook was developed, at Harvard. And yet they all dropped out and they're all zillionaires. So people say, now people are questioning, but given the expense of college, the debt that so many people have to get into to go to college, and they're looking around and they're saying, well, why do I need this college education? When clearly the richest people on earth are either putting down college, saying that they didn't need to go, or they put the money where their mouth was. They walked the walk and talked the talk, and they dropped out and they became zillionaires. So why do I have to go? And it's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. I was surprised that someone like Warren Buffett saying and just downgrading it and then trying to backtrack, considering that he went to some prestigious colleges, considering that he was successful, and considering his generation. But I think he was trying to be a little cool. You know, he's an older guy now, so now he wants to sound like he's kind of hip, you know. Yeah, well, maybe, you know. Just like all my other rich contemporaries here, I probably didn't need to go to college. I did because it was the thing to do back when I was there. But probably if I was growing up now, I would either drop out or not even go. You know, well, he's 90 years old. He's trying to be cool. Well, you know what? Stick to your guns. Be proud that you went to college. Be proud of those degrees that you earned. What are you talking about? Don't put down college. There's no question. College is not for everyone. And that's the great misconception. College is not for everyone. There are some people that are in college that don't belong in college. They're there because, I guess now, you're supposed to go. And unfortunately, it puts a lot of people in debt. They're going through the motions. Many people that start college don't finish it. I don't begrudge anybody for going or trying, but I also think that you know pretty quick whether you are cut out for this or not, or whether you are interested in this or not. And why put either your parents in great debt or yourself in great debt if it's not for you? If you decide to leave college, you're still young enough where you could still have your life ahead of you. You can make alternative plans and you can readjust your plan. Because if you're not into college, you knew you weren't going to be into college anyway, and you sort of just went through the motions. How many times have you heard about people that have gotten married and they've gotten divorced within months? And you say, well, what happened? You say, well, you know, I was actually, you know, you hear many times, I've heard this firsthand. Well, you know, I did have some major misgivings as the wedding got closer, but you know, it was just too far along. You know, so I mean, I couldn't stop the wedding. You know, the down payment was there. We got the dresses, all this other superfluous stuff. Instead of worried about your life and the emotions of your partner and yourself, but we're too worried about those other ancillary things. The hall was paid for. The dresses were already hemmed. The tuxes were rented. We already got the band and the DJ. We already picked out the food. We already sent out the invitations. Okay, so what? 2 months later, all that turned out to be BS anyway. Same thing with college. You know when you've been at a job or anywhere at a place that is not right for you. You know it in your heart immediately. Be honest with yourself. So some people shouldn't go to college, but those of us who have gone, I don't think you should denigrate it just because now it's the hip thing to do to drop out and make $1 million with an app. I'm proud that I went to college. I'm proud of my college education. I'm proud of my college. I'm glad I went. I did learn. I got out of college what I wanted to and what I put into it. And that's the same with everything. So, yeah, maybe, you didn't have to go to college or graduate to start Facebook. But all I know is that I came out of college a more mature, a more enlightened, and educated person, and more confident in myself as I went out to make my way into the world. That's what college is. See, unfortunately, 50 or 60 years ago, the conception of college was it was a training ground for a job. And that's not what college is about. But, you know, two generations ago, with immigrants coming over from other countries, they wanted their kids to have a better life than they did. And they worked their butts off, 5 jobs to do that. And that was an amazing sacrifice that those parents made in those days. And what they saw was they worked the worst jobs on earth in manual labor and in sweatshops and 4 jobs. And in what they saw is that people that went to college wound up getting good jobs and having an easier life. So they said, I want to send my kids to college, which was a great goal and a great aspiration for their children. And an amazing achievement that they did achieve, many of these people. But college does not guarantee you a job. It never was meant to do that. College is there to make you mature, to enrich you, to give you skills that will make you more confident, more educated, more organized, more mature, so that if you go into a business environment, you will be a more valuable worker. And that's how you got the job. It wasn't this whole idea of a major and stuff like that. That was created by colleges to play into this. If you come to college, you'll get a good job. It's not a trade school. College is not a trade school. You go to college to grow intellectually, emotionally, and educationally. You come out hopefully a smarter, more enlightened person, but you don't have any more experience than you did before you went in. However, in college, you have to worry about time management. You have to worry about deadlines. You have to worry about multitasking. You have to worry about getting along with people and collaborating. That's what you do in school. That's what you do in college. And that's what you do in the workplace. So, yes, college gave you new skills, but it didn't guarantee you a job. You didn't learn a trade. And that's the misconception of college, is that it automatically, like it's a trade school, although you automatically get a job. No. When you graduate from college, you have to prove yourself all over again. But now you have some heightened intrinsic new skills. You've nourished your mind and your soul by learning, by meeting people, by being inspired by teachers, by working with others, by doing the work necessary to earn something, a good grade, a diploma. That's about self-esteem, earning. That's how you get self-esteem, not just hand it out. But that's what college gives you. It doesn't give you a free pass to a job. If you go to a trade school, you learn how to be a plumber. And yeah, then when you get done with that school, you should be able to go out with a little help and get a job as a plumber. That's a trade school. That's not what college is. And so college is not for everybody. And so I also always wonder why. I understand the importance of a college education. Believe me, I certainly do. But there's some people that don't belong in college. And that's not a knock against them. But why put yourself into a situation that you're not happy in and walk through it? Because you're probably not, even if you get that diploma, you're not going to do anything with it, most likely. You're going to go another path. And why put yourself in debt or your parents in debt when that's not the course you want to follow? But if you have gone to college, in today's world, come on, Warren Buffett. Don't denigrate college because it's the cool thing to do. Be proud of what you did. You're glad you go. You know in your heart of hearts he's happy. He was proud when he got those degrees. It's not about making money. Getting a college degree is not going to guarantee you that you're going to be a millionaire or that you even get a job. It's going to guarantee that you are a more enlightened person that makes you more attractive in a business situation. But that doesn't matter. There's college dropouts that own companies. College helps you. It's another level of learning and maturity, but it's still all about you. So I think you need to be a little more honest with yourself. But I have no regrets that I went to college. And I'm proud that I did go, and I'm proud that I graduated. Graduated with honors. Not ashamed to say that. I learned a lot in college in many different ways. And it made me a better person. And I have, and it made me more curious to want to learn and find out things in my personal life after I went to college. If you enjoy learning, that you take that with you throughout the rest of your life, even if you don't get a diploma when you're done. But be honest with yourself. So I'll tell you, I don't know what's going on today in the college world between COVID, between it's not cool to go to college, between, I guess I'm going to go to college because what else do I have to do? Folks, we need to get a better handle on where we're doing, where we're at and what we're going. Yes, college can be a time of fun. I had fun in college. I acted silly in college. I made mistakes in college. But as I said earlier, today's world demands that we grow up a little faster. Sorry about that. But that's the reality. But when you're done and you get that diploma, at least you'll feel like you earned it. And don't be afraid of it. And don't be embarrassed by it. But for right now, do the right thing. If you're on a college campus, you took your SATs, you wrote your essays, you got involved in all your extracurricular activities, you did your public service. Don't just act smart, be smart. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. If this is your favorite podcast, I would hope that you will tell your friends, send them a link, send them a message, tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Your loyalty and your devotion to this podcast is much appreciated. You're the reason I'm here every week. I'm Jim Tirano, and I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you enjoyed episode 225. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.